Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
You know our trusted partner, TireRack.com, for their fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection, convenient installation options, and their great selection of best tires, like the highly consumer-rated Pirelli Scorpion Weather Active. But did you know they sell other automotive products? Wheels, brakes, suspension, just to name a few. Go to TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
This is Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre.
What is up, Straight Fire fam?
It's me,
Jason McIntyre, Straight Fire. For Wednesday, November 9th, I think you guys will be very, very proud of me for two things. Number one, our guest today is as good as it gets on soccer. World Cup is about 2 weeks away, so I leaned on a colleague, a guy I see around Fox, a legend from the U.S. national team. You remember him at the 1994 World Cup, his big bushy red hair. Alexi Lalas stops by Straight Fire. Great chat about the upcoming World Cup. It's a very exciting time to be alive, folks. This month is going to be one of the greatest months in the history of sports. We've never had a World Cup since I've been alive in November. It's always in the summer. College football, NFL, college basketball, NBA, World Cup. But honestly, this is, I'm super geeked for the next couple weeks. It's going to be chaotic, fun, and the beauty of it all is it's right around Thanksgiving. Like, that's when it really pops off. College football has a monster weekend. USA, England. You're going to get excited listening to Alexi Lalas. Some actionable gambling information if you so decide to gamble on the World Cup, which will be a massive gambling opportunity. All that being said, the other thing you'll be proud of me for is election night was last night. Did not watch 1 second of it on the television. Avoided social media. I got the kids. I said, guys, we're playing some dominoes tonight. So dominoes, game I grew up playing, play with the fam, holidays, family gatherings. I like dominoes. I ended up playing dominoes online some during the pandemic with TJ Houshmandzadeh, who fashions himself as the greatest dominoes player ever. He's good, but he's not the greatest player ever. And so anyways, played some dominoes with the kids, went to bed early, woke up this morning, avoided election stuff, and it's NBA slate's full tonight, looked at some college basketball lines, and I'm excited. I'm excited for the rest of this month. The only thing in sports I think really this morning that's mildly interesting to talk about is what's going to happen with the college football playoff. I know they released the rankings last night, TCU at 4, drew some ire of some fans. Listen, I don't really have an issue with TCU. I don't know how easy it's going to be for them to get to the playoff. Like, are they going to win against Texas this weekend? Big 12 showdown. Texas is up and down. I think they show. I would not be surprised if Texas won the game. Then TCU has Baylor, the second best team in the Big 12. So, like, TCU has a, listen, if they run the table, they win their next three. They close out against Iowa State, which is dreadful. That's a W. But if they beat Texas and Baylor, they'll get in. If they don't, the Big 12 will get shut out. And then it's Michigan, Ohio State winner, obviously. Georgia, 100% lock. Even if Georgia finds a way to lose the SEC title game to, increasingly, it's looking like LSU. I think Georgia's fine. And then the question becomes, can Tennessee, which didn't get to the SEC title game, get in? Maybe they do have a win over Alabama. And then you look at the Big 12. I'm sorry, not the Big 12, the Pac-12. And that's where there is so many issues. People do not like when I say USC is better than Oregon. And again, you look at the resumes, Oregon got absolutely humiliated in their one loss to Georgia, right? Understandable loss. Georgia's great. USC led against Utah for, I think, 59 minutes and 30 seconds, only trailing on the two-point conversion. Maybe it was like 58 minutes and 59 seconds, whatever the number was. Basically, USC never trailed in losing that game, except for 1 minute. On the road, hostile territory as underdogs. I understand. USC does not have a good defense. I get that. I totally understand. That's fine. If USC beats UCLA, I think we're going to have a really, 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 really interesting discussion about the Pac-12 getting in the college football playoff. I'm looking forward to it. I'm Team USC here, but that's still a couple weeks away. So, without further ado, let's get to our guest, former U.S. national team player and Fox Sports soccer analyst, Alexi Lalas.
You know a guy.
Jason likes to think he knows everything when it comes to sports.
I know what sports fans want.
But for everything he doesn't, he knows a guy who does.
Let's just say I know a guy who knows a guy who knows another guy.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome in to Straight Fire, one of the biggest names in U.S. soccer. I mean, goodness gracious, he was an icon back a couple decades ago, playing for the U.S. national team, starred in a World Cup. It was probably the hair, obviously the stout defensiveness. Now he's an analyst for Fox Sports. He will be in Qatar, however you want to say it, for the World Cup, doing basically everything. Alexi Lalas joins the podcast. Alexi, how you doing, man?
Hey, Jace, I'm good. Back in the 1900s, before you were born, back in the previous century, I was running around with a lot of hair. Wish I could still grow it, but I've moved on and cleaned up on the outside. Still a mess on the inside. Oh. And from a soccer perspective, obviously, we are living in interesting and heady times now, especially heading into Qatar. We decided from a Fox perspective, we're calling it Qatar. Right? So the word has come down from above.
Yes, I love it. Thank you. Qatar, easy. The Q comes out easily. But listen, yep. I was definitely a soccer fan. I think I was still playing club soccer at the time when you were rising with the U.S. national team. The flag draped over. The flag, what was it, 94?
Yeah.
When so you World had the flag over your shoulders, yep. Was it July 4th game?
Yeah, up at Stanford, up there. We lost to the eventual winners, Brazil. I mean, look, I'm talking to you today because of that summer of 94. I mean, I lived the power of what a World Cup can do to an individual. It changed my life forever in terms of opportunities on and off the field. I'm incredibly grateful. And it also, why it gets me so excited when another World Cup is upon us, because I know there are some players that, you know, maybe we're talking about, maybe we're not even talking about, that are going to get that platform and get that, you know, that power behind them, and their lives will change forever. And I'm also excited, obviously, for 2026, what is coming here, being able to host it again, coming back, because I still walk around and people will come up to me and say that 94 World Cup changed not just your life, but the way that we thought about soccer. And to be fair, 1999 with the Women's World Cup too, both of those were kind of seminal moments and really changed the trajectory. And I guess, you know, changed the perspective, not just around the world. It was actually much more the way it affected us in the United States and the way that we looked at soccer.
Yeah, because soccer was the sport that was always coming. It's coming. Yep. We're here. It's eventually going to be here. And then 94 hits. And I know, listen, I'm sure you don't want to look back on it all the time, but you get asked about it. I mean, anytime Alexi Lalas's name comes up, like, you are the guy from the 94 team that everybody knows. You know, people ask me, oh, dude, what's Lalas like? And I'm like, man, one day I'm walking around Fox. I just see this guy. He's huge. He's hulking. And I'm like, oh, shit, it's Alexi Lalas. Yeah, and, you know, you're as friendly as ever. Everybody knows you, man. And congrats on all your success. I want to start talking about soccer. The MLS Cup final from last weekend with LAFC was absolutely bonkers. I know college football was happening at the same time, and I was getting more texts about the MLS Cup than the college football games. That game was phenomenal. First of all, you know, I'm curious your thoughts on it. A guy had a massive goal there at the end in Mr. Bale. We're going to be rooting against him here in short order.
It's crazy.
Just your thoughts on that game and what it did for soccer, because it was it did a huge number on TV. It was huge.
Yeah, we just got the numbers and it was incredible. It was on Big Fox. And, you know, I can't think of a better way to kind of finish out an incredible season when it comes to Major League Soccer. And we were lucky to be able to, you know, to broadcast it. But to your point, I mean, this is going to go down as arguably the best MLS game. And certainly in my estimation, and I've been there since the beginning back in 96 when the first one happened, of the 27 different MLS Cups. This, for my money, is the best MLS Cup I have ever seen. And, you know, the privilege of actually being there downtown at the Bank of California Stadium, seeing LAFC playing against Philadelphia and all the narratives that were going on with Philadelphia, the big, bold coastal elites, if you will, against the, you know, the Philadelphia Union, just punching above their weight, and the little engine that could, and the blue collar type of mentality, money ball in the way that they go about it. Yeah. And then obviously LAFC coming. And there was everything, you know, it was back and forth. And that, if you haven't been down to that stadium, by the way, if you're in Los Angeles, or even if you're just coming in and there is a game, you know, treat yourself, because it is an experience unlike anything that you will have in a sporting event. They bring it every single time to hear the people go crazy and back and forth. And there was a time when Philadelphia had the game won. They went up a man, yes. They were up a goal. And then, as you mentioned, Gareth Bale, the player for LAFC, who really has not played a whole lot this year. He is the captain for Wales. I know we're going to talk about the World Cup here in a second, so we will be facing him and his team later on. He comes on as a substitute late in the game and plays hero, gets the tying goal. It goes into penalties. At that point, the LAFC goalkeeper goes off with a broken leg, and this young kid who actually had played for Philadelphia comes in, stones his former team, and goes into history, because this is the first MLS Cup for LAFC. Like I said, a super club, if you will, in Major League Soccer, with what they spend and the sexiness and the Hollywood ownership and all of that kind of stuff that they had. So this game had something for everyone, and that it was on national television. I think the ratings reflect it, but I also think that people will look back many, many years from now and say, that was something special.
Yeah, I thought the Philadelphia goal in the 83rd minute, I was like, it's a bummer for LAFC. They answered. And then the one in extra time and then Bale. It was just incredible. Small story. We were vacationing in Cabo, and we see these two huge bodyguards come into the room next to us. We're like, oh, there must be a celebrity here. Turns out it was Gareth Bale and his wife vacationing with their kids, and our kids were hanging out with his kids at the kids' club. And listen, this guy's not very big, Alexi. No, I mean, no. I'm not a big dude. He's like barely my size, but he has the long hair. And listen, we're going to be rooting against him pretty heavily as the U.S. opens the World Cup with him. I don't want to get to that yet. I want to talk about the process. You know, you spent time at the camp in 94 before the Cup began, and I asked Stu Holden about this too. I'm just curious, what is happening now? We're about 2 weeks out. What is going on at the camp? Is it a jovial atmosphere, or is it like, hey, we're kind of competing for positions and it's a little awkward there? What's happening at camp?
Yeah, so I mean, look, you've dealt with athletes and you understand athletes, and I can confirm that athletes can be, you know, assholes, right? I mean, they can they can be incredibly ruthless in what they do, and they can compartmentalize really, really well, the good ones out there. And there is a competition within a competition, especially in a scenario like this, where you only have 26 spots. One of the things that we're talking about with this U.S. men's national team that's going back to the World Cup is the level of talent, but also the depth, which means that there's much more competition. But even back in my day, all I wanted to do was make that team, because once you made the team, then at least you had the opportunity to be on that field. And I knew the platform that 94 was going to be. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't change if it's in Qatar or anyplace else. It is a World Cup. And for these players, some of them that are playing in some really big clubs, making a lot of money, really famous, this is still a World Cup. This is something, especially, I didn't grow up watching the World Cup from a young age. They will have all grown up watching the Landon Donovans and these types of players score goals and star at the World Cup. So this is the realization of a dream for them. And so that competition is happening day in and day out. The interesting thing about this World Cup is because it's happening in November, December, there's a very short period of time in that while there are some players that are not playing with MLS right now because the season's over, they're in camp, a lot of them are still with their club teams in, you know, Christian Pulisic playing for Chelsea and Weston McKennie playing for Juventus, and they will train this week, play their games this weekend, then get on a plane and all meet in Qatar. So it's a really strange World Cup, not just for the Americans, for all the teams involved. And the players and teams that are able to adjust the most, those are the ones that are going to be successful.
Yeah, I'm just trying to get in my head of like how the breakdown of the roster is going to go, and I can only imagine what's happening there. So you do the podcast for Fox, obviously. It's great. I've listened to it. I love your breakdowns. You are a lot of guys, you know, Alexi, a lot of the analysts kind of come from the sport, and they might want to get back in, so they're pulling punches. There's none of that with you. You are pretty blunt, and I love it. Obviously, the most important, I think, position is striker. It has been the bane of the U.S. soccer existence. We've had so many guys. I don't want to call them out here because some of them have come through Fox. It's just been an issue. Scoring has been a problem on the big stage. And I'm just curious your thoughts as we head into who the hell are going to score goals for the U.S. In Qatar.
All right, so just some little context here, because we are recording this on Tuesday, November 8th.
Yes.
Wednesday is when the 26-man roster is going to be dropped. And so after that happens, people's minds are going to be blown. People are going to scream and yell. And this is actually a good development.
Yes.
That we are having debate, that we are disagreeing about who should ultimately be, not just on the 26. Then when Greg Berhalter, the head coach, puts 11 on the field, there's a whole nother level of consternation and angst out there. But to your point, and I think this will be a big talking point as we get into covering this team in the World Cup, is who is going to be that player up top? Because we have, even in this moment where we're all so bullish about the future and these great young talent that we have, that number nine striker position, and that is the position that everybody looks to kind of score goals and put the fear of God into the opposition, nobody has really emerged since even, you know, a Jozy Altidore, and that was a couple years ago, and even before that, a Brian McBride. My kingdom for a Brian McBride or a Jozy Altidore at this point. And so now it's going to be much more by committee. You're going to see a guy named Jesus Ferreira who plays for FC Dallas. I think he's the incumbent right now, and not a lot of people have a lot of faith that he is going to put the fear of God into the opposition. But I have seen the World Cup and the soccer gods, they work in mysterious ways, and things can be very, very strange, and it can be opposite day when it comes to the World Cup. But I do think that it is a legitimate concern right now as to who is going to lead that line, be that number nine striker for Greg Berhalter. And I even asked Greg Berhalter on my State of the Union podcast, I said, you know, earlier this year, I said, why have we not developed a striker? And he looked at me and said, I don't know, because we have all of these other players that have developed, but this one position, and let's be honest, it is the most difficult thing to do in our game, and therefore it is, for my money, the most valuable position, which obviously makes it so unique. Mm-hmm. So they don't just grow on trees, but at some point, you know, something on a bush could have grown for us or something that we could approximate.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
You put it off long enough, it's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has tires that will elevate your drive. Touring tires for commuter comfort. Performance tires for sporty handling. All-terrain tires for on- and off-road adventure. Go to TireRack.com to get started. Not sure where to begin? Use the Tire Decision Guide to get a personalized tire recommendation. The right tires for how, what, and where you drive. Choose from the full line of Continental tires. Ship fast and free to a recommended installer near you, or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They'll bring your new tires to your home or office and install them on site. Doesn't get much easier than that. Go to TireRack.com/Colin to see their Continental test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews, and be sure to check out all their current special offers. Great tires, great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of
that. Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I play a lot of FIFA, I confess, and Ferreira has become a guy I pick up all the time. He's a machine. I think there's a lot of people who doubt him because he hasn't been, you know, he's not playing in Europe or any of that. You know, MLS is a great league, obviously, but, you know, I think there's some people who still doubt Ferreira. I'm kind of a Pepe guy, although I could be honest with you, I didn't know who he was 2 years ago. Never heard of this guy. Sure. He has really been a Johnny come lately. Do you think he is a lock to make the team?
So, you know, Ricardo Pepi, also from the FC Dallas machine that they have down there, churning out talent. But he, unlike Jesus Ferreira, got bought and went overseas. It did not go well for him initially. And now he's playing in Holland, which is absolutely, admittedly for everybody, a step down from the Bundesliga in Germany. But sometimes you need to go to a place where you're more comfortable, where you're more in your comfort zone. And this has worked wonders for him from a scoring perspective, because as you know, that position, ultimately you can play well and do all these different things, but you got to put the ball in the back of the net. And he is doing that right now. So I think he's come back into fashion, if you will, right now. I don't know if it's enough to have him start over Jesus Ferreira. And that's going to be the interesting thing when this roster drops. And by the way, we'll have an instant reaction to that. Myself, and you mentioned Stu Holden, and of course, the great David Mossy, our Fox Soccer researcher extraordinaire, is going to be part of that. And who Greg Berhalter ultimately picks and how many, because you got 26 spots and conventional wisdom says you're probably going to take three to play that one spot, that striker position. Who knows? Maybe he'll take four and there's other people waiting in the wings. I have no idea what he is going to do, but if it's Pepe or if it's Jesus Ferreira, that person up there, come that first game against Wales, they have to find a way to put the ball on the back of the net. And by the way, in particularly against Wales, which is an inferior team than the U.S.
Yeah, we should win that game. So you mentioned it's the most important position. It gets paid the most, and we're only going to take three. Now, is that because you think we can kind of move guys around and in a pinch push somebody up, or why not take four? I mean, again, you're the expert. I got to lean on you.
Well, no, I have actually argued that you should take four, which would get one of these not just different players, but different style of players. And so you have like a Jordan Pefock, or even, I know it's not going to happen, but a Brandon Vasquez who really lit it up in MLS this year, but has never been in with the team. The only reason that I mentioned those two is that they bring something completely different in terms of physical presence, a guy that can hold the ball up, obviously the guy that's good in the box. And that's something that, whether it's Pepe or whether it's Jesus Ferreira or even a Josh Sargent, that's not really what they do on a consistent level. Now, you do lose some other things, but that's why I would argue to possibly take four. And again, this is the first time that teams are allowed to take 26 players to the World Cup. In the past, it's been 23, even back to 22 players there. So those extra three, you can kind of do some interesting things. And I don't know ultimately what the strategy is going to be for Greg Berhalter or any of the coaches when they look at that 26-man roster.
Do you think Berhalter will tweak the, whether it's a 4-4-2 or do you think, do you see any, like, maybe curveballs coming that could impact the number of strikers he takes?
I don't think from a tactical perspective he is going to change. And for those that are going to kind of be introduced to Greg Berhalter here coming up this next month in the World Cup, this is a guy I got a lot of time for. Incredibly smart, but still young and relatively inexperienced, and he's been given this plum job of the national team in a moment with all of this talent that we're talking about. He is a romantic. He came in with a mandate that either was self-imposed or imposed on him to fundamentally change the way that we play, and in doing so, make us kind of progress, evolve, and look at ourselves in a different way. As you know, in a lot of sports, there are these romantics, right? But the real test is when it gets down to brass tacks, because he's going to be judged on the World Cup. Nobody's going to care what happened in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Do you betray your ethos? Do you betray your philosophy in the most important moment? Or do you die on that hill? Because what he wants to do with the team, I'm not sure. Well, I think what he has found out over the last couple of years is that he can't do it. And he has become a little bit more pragmatic, but a World Cup does strange things. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see ultimately where he falls on that hill.
So on a much smaller scale, like we're doing local soccer, and I'm in with our coach, and we've been doing a certain lineup with only two defenders all season. So eventually, Alexi, I say, why don't we try three? So we try three defenders. We play the best team. We play our best game. And now we're going to surprise everybody in the postseason with three defenders and a tweaked lineup. And I'm just wondering, is there anything that you think Berhalter might do? It doesn't sound like it based on your answer.
No, I think it'll first off, it's going to be a 4-3-3. I don't think that is going to change from a tactical perspective. I think it's pretty much set. You have a Christian Pulisic on the left-hand side. There's some questions on the right, either Auea or if Gio Reyna, who's a real young talent, but he's kind of fragile and has been in and out and hurt, but he's playing now. And where does he show up? We talked about the guy up top. That three, I don't think, is going to change unless there's an injury in terms of that midfield three with Tyler Adams, who's playing over at Leeds, Weston McKennie, who's playing at Juventus, and Yunus Musa, who over in Spain. That's pretty much set, but there's plenty of help that comes off the bench, including Brendan Aaronson. The back four, I think that's where there is a question as to who is going to play. Not on the left-hand side, it's going to be Robinson. On the right-hand side, it's going to be Sergiño Dest, who was at Barcelona, now he is at AC Milan. And then Walker Zimmerman, who plays for Nashville. Who is next to Walker Zimmerman? That's going to be a question mark right now, and I have no idea who ultimately he is going to decide. And then in goal, this is going to be interesting because he has a soft spot for Zach Steffen, who was with Man City, although he wasn't playing, and now he's been loaned out. But Matt Turner, who was with New England Revolution, and now he's with Arsenal, even though he's the second goalkeeper, I just think he's a better goalkeeper. And I think ultimately, I think he's going to go with the better goalkeeper, even though maybe he's not as good with his feet and Greg Berhalter wants to play out of the back.
Are you taking the most heat you're taking for any of your takes on the lineup? Does it have to do with goalie?
No, I think it's much more who pairs Walker Zimmerman right now. Because, for example, there's a guy named Aaron Long who plays for Red Bull in Major League Soccer. And he did not have a good game or pair of games in this last window, the ultimate window right before the World Cup. And so I think people have some real trepidation. And I think it's justified to be worried because he is prone to making mistakes. But a lot of people want to put a player named Tim Ream, who's actually been around. He's in his 30s. Yeah. He's actually starting game in and game out over for Fulham in the EPL against some very, very good competition. Mm-hmm. But there's always a trade-off, right? Yeah. So he's good with his feet, and he's a smart player, and he's got left foot, but he's not fleet of foot. And if we are pushing up and pressing a team and all that space behind, doesn't matter whether it's soccer or any sport, space behind a defender or somebody that is covering on the football field or whatever, that is dangerous. Because if you don't have the speed to recover, and by the way, you are facing the opposite way than the other person is going, so you have to turn, like a defensive back or whatever, you have to turn and run and do all those things, that could be real problematic for a guy like Tim Ream.
For some reason, Ream always gets lit up during national team games on social media. People just, you see his name on the lineup, you're just like, oh man, we're in trouble. But
well, you
but
know, again, American soccer, we're a pain in the ass. I mean, let's be honest. We're going to complain about everything.
Yes, that's how they normally act. I'm curious. Not a lot of talk about DeAndre Yedlin. I will confess, he's one of my favorite players on the U.S. national roster. I've been in love with his speed at the back. I fashion myself as like a fast player. I just love his style. Where does he fall in this?
I think he's the backup for the right back position. And keep in mind now, because the U.S. men's national team didn't qualify for the last World Cup, mm-hmm. in my estimation, the biggest failure in U.S. soccer history, yeah. it was a step back to go two steps forward, basically. And not necessary to do it, but we used it to the advantage, silver lining type of thing, and went two steps forward. If all goes as planned, with the starting 11 against Wales, there's not going to be a single player on the field that has ever played in a World Cup.
Wow.
If DeAndre Yedlin starts or gets on the field, he would be the unique individual who actually was there 8 years ago that actually played in a World Cup. But I think right now, Sergiño Dest is absolutely the right back. And so DeAndre's a wonderful player to have because of his experience and because he's very good. If need be, he can play in that right back position. And DeAndre can also go play in that left back position. So it wouldn't surprise me at some point in the tournament, especially if they get out of group play, that DeAndre sees the field.
So you just mentioned something. No players that could start game one have ever played in the World Cup. I saw a stat that we have the youngest roster or likely yeah. roster by a considerable amount, Alexi. The one
yep.
thing
and
I
it's
haven't
by design
seen,
too.
By design, right. I haven't seen analysis on historically how have the youngest teams in the field done.
I don't have it in front of me. I know I'm sure Mossy would be able to
yes,
rattle
I would
it
love
off
that.
Here. But it's not great in terms of how, you know, while it is a young man's or young woman's game, a World Cup, and it's been proven time and time again, it's the proper balance. And so going with an all young team, which is what this is happening, there's that balance is not there. I actually think that this team in particular has kind of harnessed and kind of learn to use this young gun type of mentality. Yes, you know, there is a youthful exuberance and a youthful swagger that I think that they recognize not just the responsibility, but the opportunity to kind of on their watch. Not only did they get back to the World Cup, but they want to do some big things. And they don't know what they don't know, right? They're going to do stupid stuff because yes. young people do stupid stuff every once in a while. But they're also going to do stuff that's going to blow your mind because they don't know to have any trepidation or any type of fear or be nervous about anything ultimately because they're just going out there and doing, by the way, what they have been taught to do from a very, very young age in kind of an incubator and a really warm, nurturing cocoon and pathway that we have developed that previous generations, not just mine, but even after that, never had as in terms of their pathway to get where they are. So while we should recognize that they are young, I don't want to dumb it down and I don't want to let them off the hook. You should expect this U.S. men's national team to make you believe again. And in doing so, get out of the group and do big things despite their youth, despite their inexperience.
Okay, that was my next question. Like, what is a realistic expectation? And I know that realism means a lot to different people out there. But as sports fans, right? You know, I'm a New York Jets football fan. Realistically, coming into the season, I had no expectations. They were not going to be good. They were terrible last year. They've been great. It's been a pleasant surprise. Realistically, I believe we could get out of this group, Alexi. It really Absolutely. Comes down to the first game, right? We can't lose yeah. to Wales because then
Absolutely.
You got England second. So go ahead.
Yep. So when we look at this team right now, first off, getting to a World Cup from the men's perspective, we shouldn't break our arm patting ourselves on the back. I know we didn't get there last time, but it's something that consistently we had done, which is why it was the biggest failure not getting there. Also, getting out of our group, we have done that in many World Cups. Yeah. So that shouldn't necessarily be, hey, we finally made it type of moment. In this group in particular, which is certainly not the most difficult group that we have had in World Cups, if you look at this group, we should beat Wales and we should beat Iran, okay? You take your chances against England, and while it would warm the cockles of my redheaded American heart to beat England, and it would be just so nice to be able to shove it in their face,
yes.
it's still an elite team here. Mm-hmm. And we are going to have to play really well, and we're going to have some luck from above in that second game right there. To your point, you're absolutely right. That first game against Wales, if you come out of the chute and you get yourself 3 points, you get that win, then you're golden. Because the second game now, the pressure is all on England. We are put in that nice, familiar, and comfortable underdog role, and we can roll the dice there. And then the third game, we always knew we're going to have to play Iran in the third game. It's another team that we can beat. So I'm looking at it as absolutely there's 6 points out there, and who knows what happens against England. And I'd be disappointed if we didn't get those 6 points at the very least.
I would agree with every word you said. England has a history of playing down to the competition. Yep. Again, they are loaded. They're, I think, one of the top favorites to win the whole thing. But this Wales team, they barely qualified. Other than Bale, I don't know anyone. Do they have a lot of talent on that team?
I mean, look, it's been since back in the 50s, okay, when they last qualified for the World Cup. So for them, you know, this is it, all right? They are, I'm not just saying that they're going there as tourists or they're just going there as holiday, on a holiday, but they've already won, let's be honest, yes. Okay? And so we kind of have to use that to our advantage. And I'm not saying they're not going to give us a game. And by the way, I'm also not saying they can't beat us. The thing is that both Wales and Iran, when I gave you that scenario of how the U.S. is looking at the other two teams, they're both looking at it in the same way, okay? England says, we're going to beat everybody. Iran says, we're going to beat Wales and the U.S. And Wales says, we're going to beat the U.S. And Iran. And so that's kind of how it's going to go. You know, I'm real excited to see ultimately how this goes. That first game, again, to your point, I just think is so crucial. And I don't want to put all the eggs in that basket, right? Because, you know, this, if they don't win, then the pressure is on them going into that England game that they have to do something. And look, that game's going to be nuts on Black Friday.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to do a ridiculous rating and everybody's going to be there and watch it. And while my job and your job obviously is to hype up and get people excited. I mean, hell, if I'm not excited about the game, then why should a viewer or a listener be excited, yeah, right? So that is my job. But I'm also not here to blow smoke up your ass, all right? I am here to give it to you straight, okay? And yes, I am a glass half full type of person, and I am incredibly bullish about this team, mm-hmm, for a number of different reasons, but not the least of which it goes back to, I think they want this moment. They want to have you, Jason, and everybody out there watching look at that screen, whether they know anything about soccer or not, and say, that dude is awesome. That Weston McKennie, I want him on my team. Yeah. I want him in a bar fight. I want to hang out with that dude. That's what you want to see from this team. And I think that they're smart enough, even though they're young, they're smart enough to recognize the window of opportunity that they had here. And it's relative to the performances that they put in.
Yeah. Gosh, I'm excited now.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere. Like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
You put it off long enough, it's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has tires that will elevate your drive. Touring tires for commuter comfort. Performance tires for sporty handling. All-terrain tires for on- and off-road adventure. Go to TireRack.com to get started. Not sure where to begin? Use the Tire Decision Guide to get a personalized tire recommendation. The right tires for how, what, and where you drive. Choose from the full line of Bridgestone tires. Ship fast and free to a recommended installer near you, or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They'll bring your new tires to your home or office, install them on site. Doesn't get much easier than that. Go to TireRack.com/Colin to see their Bridgestone test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews, and be sure to check out all their current special offers. Great tires, great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win.
Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, love he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on
I'm
top of it.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came out from crying tears. Crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't me?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
True or false, when you were at camp in 94, you guys obviously broke down the group and who you're playing. Was there any talk at all? If we advance out of the group, here's who we might play.
It was, for us, the only goal was, let's get out of the group, because that equated success,
yes.
Okay? You know, and look, there was pressure on us because we were hosting the World Cup, and we didn't want to bomb out in flames and it wasn't even just for us. It was for soccer, right? So the pressure of the future of soccer was on us at least doing well. And I think everybody agreed, if you get out of the group, then it's success, and then everything else is kind of gravy. And we ended up losing to Brazil, which ended up winning the World Cup. So there's no shame. There's no shame in that. So there is a pathway there. I will say this, that back then, and I'm not going to go into all the details, but there was a game, the third game, we ended up losing 1-0 to Romania. Had we found a way to get a point in that game, it would have changed the trajectory in terms of who we played. And while it was incredible on July 4th at Stanford to play against the future winners, Brazil, we could have had an easier path. And every moment in those three games in group play. And so whether you're watching that first game against Wales, that second game against England, or that third game against Iran, every moment counts. And things can change dramatically by, a ball going here, a ball going there, the soccer gods, going off somebody's ear, somebody tripping, a red card, a bad foul, all these different things that happen. And that's the drama of sports that we love.
Okay, macro look at the tournament of the big six. I think going back 50 years or something like that, only six countries have won the World Cup. Most likely one of those to miss advancing to the knockout stage. That would be like France, England, Brazil, Italy. Not Italy, but...
Yeah, so look, I mean, history is not good in terms of a team repeating. Mm-hmm. All right, you have to go back decades, back into the 1900s to see Brazil do it. And so you're safe money is that France is not going to repeat, even though they are really, really good and they've only kind of improved and they just have loads and loads of talent. I think, I haven't looked at the odds yet, but I would assume that Brazil is your real safe type of money. Mm-hmm. You're not going to win a lot of money, but it's your safe type of money. And they are stacked. And if I had to put my money, I would put it on a Brazil. Mm. If I had to put your money, Jason, and win some money, and risk some stuff, all of your money, I would put it on someone like the Netherlands, which is right. Look, they've always been a bridesmaid. I think they're coming in. They got a good path that we were talking about to get there. I think they're feeling confident. They do have a pedigree. I mean, this is the Netherlands, by the way. So they have been there before. So it's not a complete dark horse like, say, Denmark, which a lot of people are talking about right now. Yeah. Netherlands, the Argentina, you can't look. Messi right now is playing as well as we've ever seen him, mm-hmm. especially the comfort level that he seems to feel right now as he's going into this golden era of his career with Argentina. That should scare anybody who's playing them. It's a balanced team. It's a team that is well coached, and it's also a team without drama. And that is a unique thing to say about Argentina right now. So there's a lot of people, including David Mossy. I got Brazil from the safe money perspective. Yeah. He's got Argentina from his safe money perspective. And like I said, a Netherlands if you want to win some more money.
We love narratives here in the media. Messi winning it all. I don't know that there's there's a better outside of the U.S. winning or something. Just the Messi story, you know, Copa America, and now this would be incredible. I'm assuming you're a Messi guy, Messi versus Ronaldo?
No, I'm Ronaldo. I'm in the Ronaldo camp. However, I will say this.
Wow, I did not see that coming.
If Messi comes through and wins this World Cup, I don't think that there, even me, okay, who I've found different ways to argue for Ronaldo, I don't think there's anybody that can argue then that he is the greatest player ever to play the game. Look, this is a attacking player, diminutive, left-footed, who plays for Argentina. What do you think is going to happen? You're always going to be compared to Diego Maradona. And until you actually check that World Cup box, it's not that you're not a great player, possibly not the greatest player ever. It's just, this is where you were born, and this is what you are up against. You mentioned the Copa America, which they won last year, and they did check that box, and I think it did alleviate some pressure. And this balance that I'm talking about, while they certainly give the ball to him at times and have him do his magic, which he can do, they don't defer to him. And I'm talking about his teammates on Argentina. There is plenty of talent that is surrounding him. And in that moment, when they do need a moment of magic, they give it to him, as opposed to the very beginning, say, here, go do your stuff, and we'll watch you from afar. Yeah. So there's a real good cohesiveness with this team right now.
And then I also want to get into a Mexico question. You know, we have some listeners. Obviously, I'm a minority owner of a soccer team in Liga MX now, so you know, we'll talk some more soccer on the podcast, but I'm curious your thoughts on Mexico. They, I think, believe announced their roster today or yesterday. And there's some, I guess everybody seems pretty content. Your thoughts on Mexico heading into the Cup?
Well, I was just watching Chucky Lozano, and he's doing well. So that's, you know, that's a good thing for Mexico. Listen, this is, I cannot think of a time going into a World Cup when there have been lower expectations and more pessimism when it comes to El Tri than right now. And I actually think that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. I actually think that Mexico's getting out of the group, and not only getting out of the group, but Tata Martino ultimately is going to do what he was hired for, which is to get them to their fifth game, the Quinto Partido, right? That, I think, is going to happen here because the expectations are so low. And look, it's not an easy group. You know, I have people all over the pier and in my grotto here and stuff like that. So when you're talking about Argentina, when you're talking about Saudi Arabia, when you're talking about Poland, you know, it's not an easy group, but this is a group absolutely that you should expect Mexico to find a way out, even though for a lot of people, this is not one of the great Mexico teams going to this World Cup.
I think they've lost in the knockout stage like the last six World Cups, five or six, something like that.
Yes, there is this, you know, this mythology now, you know, this turned into, you know, this cycle type of moment where they're just trying to get to this fifth game. And it's not, they've been there, but it was so far in the past that now they just constantly can't get past that round of 16 game. And that's ultimately what Tata Martino, like I said, was hired for. And he's come under a lot of pressure like everybody else, but ultimately he qualified the team. He's there. And now we're going to see if he can work his magic in the World Cup.
All right, we'll wrap up with a question on the U.S. Didn't tell you I was going to ask you this, but
okay. If
you had to pick one guy who you think would be the most important, the biggest key, and I know it's never about one guy, it's a team, sure, 11 players, one guy, who would that be heading into the Cup?
I think Weston McKennie is going to emerge as the star, but one guy that you're not going to see, and he's not going to get the fanfare, is a Tyler Adams. Okay. And it's not that people don't know who he is, but he does that dirty work that's not sexy and it's not going to appear on highlight films or anything like that. And when I say that, what I'm talking about is, in a soccer game, you need people that are going to cover for you defensively. You need people that are going to cut out those passing lanes. And not only is he really smart and aware about doing that kind of stuff, but his physical attributes make him enable him to gobble up space. And he wears his heart on his sleeve, as do a lot of these players here, but it's in a much more mature and subdued way than, you know, say a Weston McKennie. I think, you know, if Stu Holden was here, he would be tapping me saying, hey, Yunus Musa, who is a really young player, but I think is going to have a really, really good tournament. And I think you'll be able to see more of why he is so important. You know, the Christian Pulisics of the world, they're going to get plenty of attention. Like we mentioned, Timothy Weah on that right-hand side as a pure winger. But I would focus in on Tyler Adams, because I think even if you don't know a whole lot about soccer, if you actually find a way to watch him on the screen, I think there will be an appreciation that you will develop for the space that he gobbles up, but also the space that he sees and the positions that he puts himself in, where there is there was no wasted movement or energy on his part.
Yeah. But very exciting. It's just listening to you talk about it. We're 2 weeks to go.
I can't wait. I'm leaving Thursday for Qatar.
Have you been to Qatar before?
I've been twice already now, okay. So we'll be going back. And look, the country, or sometimes the countries that host these things, always end up being part of the story and even sometimes the star. It's no different here. Qatar, we know people are going to talk about it. There's going to be good, bad said as we go along. Yeah. Ultimately, we're there to provide the pictures and the commentary on what is going on from a soccer perspective, but we're not immune, or we don't ignore everything that is going on out there. But it is going to be this Brigadoon type of experience where everybody is in one city. Nobody's going anywhere. It's the ultimate bubble, if you will, and it could be, the romance of a Woodstock, or it could be a fire fester. We don't know. We don't know how it's ultimately going to play out here.
Wow.
But it's going to be crazy because nobody's, satellite-ing out. There's no planes anywhere. All of the eight stadiums are all within 45 minutes. And so it's going to be really something to see. Yeah,
I can't believe they built eight stadiums. I mean, that's absurd. Anyways, all right, have a safe time there. Alexi, thank you very much for taking the time. And we're looking forward to all your coverage of the Cup.
I can't wait. It's so much fun to talk to you as always, and you do great work, and I watch you all the time. So thank you for having me.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.